On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Hey, good morning, Fabian Fanboy.
Good morning, Mike, how are you?
You're back in Tinseltown, are you?
I am, and it hasn't stopped raining since I got here.
Really? Unusual, isn't it? The world's climate?
Yeah. 5 days in a row of straight rain. Never experienced this before.
Does that make for a fresh or kind of soiled smell in Los Angeles?
I've been trying not to breathe simply through my nose, so I'm not going to comment on the smell. But I do generally like it when it rains, and then you suddenly realize how many problems it causes for the 60,000 homeless in Los Angeles, who probably can deal with like one day of rain at best. God knows what they're doing.
Not to mention all those people that have flown in from various different parts of the country chasing the sun, you know?
Yeah, exactly. This is not what they signed up for.
No. How's the movie scene? What's going on in the movie scene?
Well, before I get into this week's films, I just want to mention a film that came out last week, which I have subsequently seen, called Eighth Grade, which is a coming-of-age story about a 13-year-old girl dealing with the stresses of high school. And I'd heard this is a very acclaimed film from this year. Can you hear all that beeping?
What's going on, man?
It's the teacher's strike.
Oh, copy.
It's the teacher's strike today, and the cars are beeping in support. So it's good beeping.
Good beeping, but near your house.
I'm outside the gym right now.
Sure.
So Eighth Grade, this amazing film about the 13-year-old girl, and I kind of had heard it was good, but wasn't quite ready for how good it was. It's sort of a post-John Hughes teenage film. It's got a bit more of a modern view, a more clear-eyed view of what teenagers go through and kind of the awfulness of being a teenager. And I sort of thought there weren't a lot of places left to go in this arena, you know? But it was like when I saw that film, Election, and he suddenly realized that if you update your view of a common setting, high school in this case, you can kind of touch on lots of different things. And I think Eighth Grade is currently playing at the Academy. I can't recommend it highly enough. Very cool film.
That sounds awesome. I know when a film's really captured you, my friend, after many years of talking to you about such things, and I can hear that when you were talking it up yourself last week, as you said. When you say it's is it like fresh eyes on something that we've on a concept that we've seen before, sort of thing? You know, is it just we're a bit older and that school's very different to how we remember it, sort of, in our mind's eye?
It's a combination of fresh eyes, and also it very realistically incorporates how much social media plays a role in the life of a 13-year-old.
Yuck.
And also, it's reflective of how, culture has this kind of agreed-upon idea about the way life is. That's constantly evolving and getting closer and closer to reality. You know, we sort of have this idea that we're all good people doing good things to each other, when in reality, we're all pretty awful.
We are pretty awful.
And we're all doing horrible things to each other. And Eighth Grade, there's just kind of a slight maturity to the way it acknowledges what a 13-year-old girl probably has to go through. And this film, she's got a YouTube channel in it that no one watches, and she's giving all this advice on how to make friends and stuff, but she kind of can't follow that advice herself. And the film was written and directed by this young guy named Bo Burnham, who was a YouTube personality himself.
Yeah.
And went on to be a comedian and actor. And he's just done something. It's sort of on paper, it's something we've seen before, but in execution, it's just something pretty special. And it also has the best use of Enya's Orinoco flow that I've ever seen. Ooh. In a movie, and that's been used in a lot of movies, not for a while.
Hey, how did it? So, did you ever like the movie that was called 13?
Do you know what? I never saw 13.
I thought that was a great movie, and for kind of similar reasons, but it was probably a little less on the money, but it was like if I remember watching it going, oh, every parent should watch this. Whoa, yep. Oh, yep. Sort of thing.
Yeah. It was a little bit of our kids are out of control.
That's when I was a kid, though. A little bit, but a little bit sort of just, you know, a reminder of what the important things are and listen to your kids, you know. Listen to your kids.
Paul Burnham, this writer-director, has made the experience of a 13-year-old girl feel very universal with eighth grade, and I absolutely loved it. Really funny, but not also quite dramatic and just amazing. So that's already a film that comes out this week that I should mention that I have seen, Glass. Now, this is M. Night Shyamalan's latest film.
Shyamalan?
It's a sequel to both Split, which came out 2 years ago, and Unbreakable, which came out 19 years ago. Unbreakable, I absolutely love Unbreakable. I think it's...
Which movie's Unbreakable? That's just got one of those names.
Unbreakable's the one with Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson, where it's kind of like a guy is slowly revealed to maybe be a superhero, but in a kind of lo-fi kind of way. And there's been rumors of a sequel to it for so long, and then when Split came out, the post-credit sequence in that, or the pre-credit sequence, suggested it was set in the same universe as Unbreakable. So now he's bringing the character from Split, the multiple personality, super villainish type thing, played by James McAvoy, Mr. Glass, played by Samuel L. Jackson, and David Dunn, played by Bruce Willis. And very excited to see this film. A bit of a mess.
Oh.
Not a complete failure, but some genuine surprises in there, sort of. Sarah Paulson's in it as well, but definitely not what I was waiting 9 years for an Unbreakable follow-up.
When you saw that M. Night Shyamalan, or however you pronounce it probably then, was at the reins of that particular movie, did you knew deep down your heart it could go either way, didn't you?
Yeah. But Unbreakable is his high point in my mind, and I sort of defended M. Night Shyamalan for a few films after everyone else stopped attending him, but then I gave up on him as well.
Yeah.
And it's true, he's been incredibly inconsistent of late. But Split was all right. I mean, the best part of Split was really when they revealed that it was set in the Unbreakable universe, so those sort of 15 seconds or whatever. And I don't know if Glass quite lives up to that revelation. Or, I mean, he clearly doesn't have a huge amount of money to work with. Most of it takes place in a mental asylum.
He's doing all right with hiring the big hitters, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess so.
They're all pretty bankable names, aren't they, surely?
Well, Bruce Willis puts out about 5 straight-to-streaming movies a year these days. Unless it's a Die Hard movie, I don't think anyone's paying too much attention to him. Samuel Jackson is the modern-day Michael Caine. He will say he doesn't know how to say no. But he always classes up the joint, and he's always good. And he is good in this. James McAvoy, his gimmick with this film and Split is that he jumps between characters, sort of 5 seconds, 5 seconds, one character, 5 seconds, another character, which displays incredible acting dexterity. He's quite remarkable in his ability to change his posture and his voice and his intonation, but I actually found it quite annoying after a while. I felt like there were too many scenes of him just jumping between characters, just from a pure sort of just entertainment factor perspective. I was like, okay, we get it, you're different characters, can we just settle on one for a little bit and have something happen, please? Glass was a bit disappointing, I have to admit. But not totally dismissible. Not Shyamalan still has some interesting ideas. In the 19 years between Unbreakable,
people give him a second chance a lot of the time. It's quite amazing, actually.
Do they?
He's still there, and he's had a couple of real bangers, hasn't he?
Yeah, but he's kind of been on the comeback trail a little bit. You know, he's been making smaller, more effective films like The Visit and Split to a certain degree. Split has some problematic sort of young girl kidnapping fetishization factors, which are also present.
Also, I had a few. Oh, is that all this whole movie's about? Just that factors to it as well?
Not quite.
I thought it was boring.
You know, four cheerleaders chained to a post at one point. It's like, okay, come on. But yeah, I'm still processing Glass a little bit, I think. I'm not quite sure where I'm landing on it. I was definitely disappointed, though, and I was like, what is this film doing? Where is it going? I was a bit lost. But as I was going to say, between Unbreakable and this, superhero films became the norm. So he's kind of got his work cut out for him to try and say something original in that space. And I think he does actually say something slightly original with Glass. It's just not as perfectly a constructed film as Unbreakable, although few films are.
All right, man. Well, we'll let you back to the cacophony of car horns.
That's nuts, isn't it? Yep. Is it coming through really loud? Sorry about that.
You've got to support the teachers. Yeah, you've got to support the teachers. Of course you do.
I should stop honking my horn. That might have.
Are you out there with a placard or something?
Not quite, but maybe I'll go join them.
All right. All right then, Fabian fanboy. Or perhaps maybe you'll just go to a movie. Think.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
What movie are you going to go to today?
I have to go see The Mule, which is the new Clint Eastwood film. It's coming out next week.
He's looking pretty wizened in that. But, you know, here's Clint Eastwood.
It's made a lot of money. It's like people still want to see.
Oh, people love a good drug-running movie, you know? Love it.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
We'll see.
Have a great week, man. We'll speak to you again this time next week.
See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
It's 5 to 8 on this Friday.